Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Wake up. It's time to go. Zach Amico's got a show. Animals are here to play. Jokes and guests to start your day. Tell the Sandman no more sleep. Eat some eggs and cook some beef. Laugh is waiting. Don't be shy. Stretch your legs and touch the sky. Grab a coffee and join the crew. It's Zach Amico.
There we go.
Blizzard thing. Oh, well, here's the report. The National Weather Service is calling for a big blizzard thing.
Yes, they are. But, you know, there's another reason why today is especially exciting.
Especially cold.
Yeah. Okay, but the big question on everybody's lips.
Their chapped lips.
Do you think Phil's going to come out and see a shadow?
Punxsutawney Phil.
That's right, woodchuck chuckers. It's Groundhog Day!
All right, welcome to the Morning Zoo. It's your other boy, the international superstar, Zach Amico, saying welcome to the Morning Zoo. And yes, Punxsutawney Phil has predicted 6 more weeks of winter.
Yep.
It means nothing.
Yeah.
It's nothing. It's a rodent pees on a man.
I mean, it's once a 24/7.
Yeah, it's absolutely matter. Gross out.
365.
But I have two guests keeping it hot in here. From the Coastal Idiots podcast, it is our good friend Shane Torres. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, buddy. Good to be back.
Good to have you, man. An absolute pleasure. As well, another pleasure from the Medium Popcorn podcast is our friend Brandon Collins. How you doing, dog?
Hey, what's up, Little Biscuits?
Oh, man.
Little Biscuits.
That's what we say on Medium Popcorn. I call our fans Little Biscuits and Sun-Dried Tomatoes. Don't ask me why.
I like it.
That's nothing to do with it.
I call mine Zoophiles, so that's probably way better. thank you guys for being here.
Let's go so many terrible ways.
Yeah.
You don't even know.
Let's knock plugs out of the way. Brandon, what do you want people to check out, buddy?
Yeah, I got a Drunk Black History Tour. It's Black History Month, 100 years of it, actually. And so I'm all over the country. New York, Austin, Newark.
All the hot
Boston
spots.
Yeah. LA. So drunkbikehistory.com.
Bristol, Tennessee.
Mississippi. And drunkbikehistory.com. And then fertile_blackness on Instagram and Threads.
Fantastic, Mr. Torres.
Check out the pod Coastal Idiots. Comes out every Tuesday. And you can also have a new special coming out later this year. So keep an eye out for that.
Nice.
And www.punchup.live/ShaneTorres for all your Shane Torres needs.
Fantastic. Check me out on Instagram at Zach is not funny. Punchup.live/ZachAmico for all my dates. Looking like we're going to be in Atlantic City at the Tropicana in May, 2 nights in a row. Very excited about that. And more importantly, if you love the show, head on over to GasDigital.com today. Use my promo code ZOO. Get yourself a little bit of money off your subscription. Get yourself your episodes early, ad-free, and uncensored. Get the archives, thousands of hours of all your favorite gas shows from over the years, as well as the live chat, and most importantly, our Friday bonus episode. That's right, we do 3 of these a week, and if you want all 3, you gotta subscribe, but regardless, thank you for consuming the show, however you do. Tell a friend, a coworker, or somebody else, and thank you very much for listening. All right, this is the Morning Zoo. We love animal stories, and a man in Oyster Bay has been sighted after being pulled over with an interesting menagerie in his car, and I thought I would watch you guys see this in real time.
Thank you. Okay. This is always my favorite part of the show. It's like a horrifying YouTube clip.
It's not horrifying as much as it is just surprising.
Okay.
Oh,
one of those didn't
I like a
see
good
that,
surprise.
One of those didn't see that one coming.
All right.
Shannon.
My God. No.
Are
you getting this? I'm trying. Oh, my God. Look at
that. Oh, that's so cute.
Oh.
That's so cute.
Sloths and kangaroos.
So, Shannon, do we have any story what this guy was, where he was going? Were they private pets?
They don't know that yet. The only thing is that, so in this area, Oyster Bay, you know, it's against the law to have these exotic species, but there isn't any, it says they've reached out to him for comment, but they don't have any information as to why.
Yeah, he's not going to incriminate himself. He's like, you know.
I would assume he's dealing.
Yeah, exotic
selling,
animals. Yeah, you're not just driving around Oyster Bay with a kangaroo.
It's like taking my kangaroo for a ride.
Yeah, that's wild, dude.
They're so used to all this fucking snow up here. Yeah,
they can't live. Can they? I'm sure
they can live.
They can live different climates and stuff. Not for, like, I think long term. Like, you're not going to, you know,
I think they would
the
probably be more likely to, like, starve or something because they don't know how to do it. You know, it being too harsh.
Yeah, the sloth, I feel like, might have a tough time.
Yeah, don't they do nothing anyways?
But they have all that fur, though.
Yeah.
So they might be able to survive.
And like, I think their claws are surprisingly scary.
Yeah, they're tough.
But aren't sloths, like, don't they never move, right? Isn't that, like, their thing?
Maybe
they're well-suited for a winter if they're just not going to, like, burn any calories or do anything.
I think a sloth would definitely survive better than a kangaroo out in those streets.
A little, in Oyster Bay?
Well, yeah, also, like, the kangaroo's going to be bouncing around the street. Someone's going to shoot that fucker. Like,
that's more my thought.
Someone will,
And I feel like the kangaroo would have a tough time in South America because people are going to say chupacabra and shoot it. I feel like woods in Jersey, they're going to say Jersey Devil and shoot it.
Yeah.
Is the Jersey Devil kind of like the El Chupacabra of the Northeast? Is that
the Jersey, we grew up, that was like the thing. It was in the Pine Barrens. There's the Jersey Devil.
What's it supposed to look like?
It oddly like a kangaroo.
Okay.
It has clothing.
No wonder this guy's not telling him anything.
if I'm saying it right, Shannon, if you want to bring up a drawing of the Jersey Devil, I want to say, cloven hooves.
Oh, wow.
Bat wings, horse head, and little arms. So I want to, kangaroo is.
Cloven hooves, bat wings, and horse.
Man, someone wasn't a bad acid trip when they drew that.
You know, it's what I did.
That's pretty disturbing.
Yeah, that's wild.
There's sightings of it for years. But
is that who the hockey team was named after?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, totally. Cool.
Jersey's fucking nuts, man.
KP Burke has a history podcast here. What's KP's show called, Shannon?
American Loser.
American Loser. We did a whole episode about the Jersey Devil. Basically, it was a smear campaign by whoever. What was it? Who did the the Farmer's Almanac?
Okay.
They basically.
How do you have beef with the Farmer's Almanac?
Because somebody started another one.
Got it.
And they were feuding. And I think it was Ben Franklin made up the Jersey Devil story as a joke about the other guy who ran the almanac because all the names in it are named after his family.
Got it.
When you go over the legend of it.
God. What a time. People were even dumber than they are now to just be like. I bet they'll believe that. Like, just to be a little bit smarter than everyone back then.
I mean, pettiness has no fucking limits. I mean, think about, like, you know, what was it, Sly Stallone and Richard Gere? Mm-hmm. He's the one that started that whole rumor about the gerbil.
I didn't know that.
He was just like, because they didn't get along. So he's like, oh, yeah, you know who puts gerbils up his ass. And that's where the Richard Gere
crazy
rumor started.
Well, what were the big ones when we were kids? It was Richard Gere gerbil, Rod Stewart stomach pumped because of
Cum. Yeah.
Marilyn Manson rib.
Michael Jackson alien.
I never got that.
I heard that one all the time as a kid. What else?
I know when he did his cameo in Men in Black 2, he's like, I need to be a man. They wanted him to be an alien. He's like, no, I need to be a man in black.
But I remember
he's
the Marilyn Manson.
In Black 2?
Yes. Is he in 2 or 3?
I think he might be in 2. I think he's in 2 because I watched
an agent.
One.
They like, they, oh, okay.
Yeah,
they,
I watched
they cut
one
to a bunch of agents and he's M.
Oh, okay. It's like a, all right.
Yeah, it's like a quick, it's a very Austin Powersy cameo.
Or like Donald Trump and like Home Alone 2 and shit. It's like very quick.
Okay. Very different.
Yeah. Yes,
very Donald different. Trump. I don't know if you guys know this. And I don't talk about T-Bird a lot on the show cuz I don't want
T-Bird.
I don't want to divide my audience.
He's the Pontiac, the T-Bird.
Yeah. Pontiac's a little more Obama.
Yeah.
If your parents used to say what Pontiac.
Well, which way did Michigan go?
When you used to film on Trump properties, one of the things you had to do was include him.
Yes, yeah.
And a character had to call him Mr. Trump. It didn't have to go in the movie, but you had to film it.
Interesting.
So there's tons of movies with cut Donald Trump cameos, I believe including Scent of a Woman,
where he has a scene with Pacino.
Well, I think that wasn't that really? Devil Wears Prada, not Devil Wears Prada, Devil's Advocate, because they filmed it his place.
Yeah.
So,
like Trump Tower or something?
Yeah.
I think anything filmed in his property for a certain amount of time,
he had to be in it. Yeah.
It was basically a way for him to just get his dick sucked for the day.
And get a market.
He wanted to be on the call sheet. He wanted the fucking hullabaloo. Yeah. But go ahead, please.
So I met this guy who was in a musical on Broadway. And
shout out to your friend.
Yeah, and he, there was like an interactive part where we talked to you, and Trump came to the show. And this was well before he was president. They brought him on stage, and he came out and he waved. Yeah. And then he just hung out in the back the whole time and talked to everyone. Like, he went, like, the show was now about him because he got brought on stage.
Yeah.
You know, it was like,
someone in the audience is like, Rick got weird.
The end of Rent is they all just get evicted and die of AIDS. A new cast of rich white people walk on after intermission.
It turns out they were squatting in Trump Tower the whole time.
Shannon, what were you about to bring up?
A compilation of Donald Trump cameos.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Esteemed pleasure to introduce Mr. and Mrs. Donald Trump.
That's the Ivanka, right?
And this is the one mysteriously buried on his property with no autopsy.
Oh, my God!
Oh.
Hey, Donald.
Told me you were here. You look great.
Thank you very much. I'm Donald Owens.
Is that Elizabeth Berkley?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So.
Listen, are you bagging her?
Huh? Elizabeth Hurley.
Are you?
Hurley, yeah.
No, we just met. Well, call me, Liz.
Oh.
I'm having deja vu. This is so weird.
It's okay, weird before.
So let me tell you that all the money.
Susan Brooke Shields.
First income I've gotten that's not been garnished by the Bank of Margo. I hope you have a good lawyer. Donald, listen, it's 50 cents.
You know what's funny about this last dude is like his affinity for models.
Yeah.
And then they're like Liz Berkley. And I didn't get
rich by throwing it. Elizabeth Hurley.
Hurley, sorry. And
Samantha, a cosmopolitan, and Donald Trump. You just don't get more New York than that.
Look at this right here on the street. It's Donald Trump.
What are you, morons?
They have to say his name. It's so funny. It's like Poochie.
And Kelson finally dumped you.
Not exactly, no. We just came to a mutual understanding that she couldn't bear me for another second.
Mike? Randall?
Donald? Huh? Mr. Trump here wrote The Art of the Deal. Then he wrote a new bestseller.
See?
Yeah. God. That's hilarious.
Wow.
Dude, Brad Dress is still hot.
Still banging.
She's still so hot.
President of
SAG-AFTRA. She's batshit crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, what am I talking about? All you handsome zillionaires know each other.
Donald!
This is.
Sheffield, how do you do? How do you just gonna crash and burn and take his clients with him?
It's crazy how much more there is.
They're just insane.
And he's wearing the same outfit.
That's branding, too.
Yeah.
Every time I see this actor, I think of The Sopranos when Christopher kills him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, Whoopi's like a business. She like runs a company.
Sorry, Frank, but I'm going to go crash and run with Cuddy. Call me.
I remember, he's the father, yeah.
Is this the movie?
Yeah. It's terrible. It's really bad.
There was a rumor that the kid who went to the elementary school next to my middle school when this came out was in it. He was like Spanky or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
wow.
He just like mercilessly, like everyone's just like, you know, just beat the shit out of him and stuff. You're like, thinking better than me because he was a little rascal.
I did a Nickelodeon commercial when I was in grammar school, and it was non-stop.
That had to be brutal.
Torture.
Oh, no.
It was. And I tried.
What did you do in the Nickelodeon?
I've tried to find it. I can't find it. I have it on tape somewhere in my mom's house.
Yeah.
And it'll have to be a mini DV that I record. You know, like you used to put the little tape in the tape that went in the VCR.
Yeah. It was like a camcorder tape that went into this. Like,
yeah, I have one of those.
Of it somewhere?
Of it somewhere, because I taped like a 6-hour block when I knew it was going to be on. And it was Nickelodeon Smell-O-Vision.
Wow.
And they gave out cards, and when you watch the show, it would give a number, and it was a scratch and sniff, and you could smell the show.
Yeah.
It's an old John Waters bit. And in the thing, it was me and all kids, but I was the lead in it. So I'm in dead center, and we're in a gym with a coach, and he's getting us to work our scratch and sniff finger.
Oh man, this is painful the next
dude,
day.
Years.
The kids are just...
would do that to me in the hallway. People would be like, hey, somebody told me to do this to you. What is that? Like, it got to the point where people didn't even know.
Just became part of the zeitgeist.
The zeitgeist of me to make fun. Which, by the way, to this day, it was just one of those, like, he's different.
Yeah.
He's ambitious.
Yeah.
He's got gumption.
He's got a dream. Hey guys, this episode is brought to you by our good friends at Prize Picks. The big game is almost here. You know the big game I'm talking about. I can't say it, but you know in your beautiful little mind what big game I'm talking about. And there's no better way to cash in than our friends at Prize Picks, where it always feels good to be right, close the season out right with Prize Picks by getting $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. Guys, I am not smart and I am not good at making all the best picks, but Prize Picks now lets you see your friends' lineups so you can send them your picks or copy and paste their picks into your lineup. They also now have early payouts. Cash out your winnings before the game even finishes. Download the Prize Pick app today and use the code ZOO to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's right, guys. That's code ZOO to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, because it's good to be right.
My friend went to like elementary school or middle school with Leonardo DiCaprio, and after he had his first big shot on Growing Pains, mm-hmm. they said everybody in school would just walk around him and be like, "Oh, I'm Leonardo DiCaprio."
He's like, "One."
It's not even creative. At least you're just like, "There's a finger fucking joke," or you know, like some kind.
You gotta be careful with that though, because sometimes you meet the celebrity later on, like Michael B. Jordan. Like he met this chick that used to tease him in high school. She was like interviewing him on a red carpet. He's like, "Oh yeah, I remember you." She's like, "He's like used to tease me." She's like, "Oh no, that wasn't me." He's like, "Mm-hmm." Like it was like it became like a viral moment.
See the one of Tracy Morgan?
No,
this homeless dude comes up.
Yeah. You can bring it. So that guy, I guess, was a comic for years. I've read.
Oh really?
And Tracy has given him money.
But that guy came up.
And that guy, I guess, is like an old-timey, like, Harlem comic who's homeless now.
Yeah.
And he has shown up to Tracy's shit before.
And done it again and again.
So it
sucks.
It was a little, like, the way it's framed is a little more.
The way it's framed, it makes it look like a homeless guy asked Tracy for money.
Yeah. And then Tracy's like, I remember you. Fuck you. Yeah.
But it is, I think Tracy has given. Yeah, you can bring it up.
Don't talk to me like I owe you something.
I didn't say that.
Hey, boy, can I get something, please?
No!
When we was younger.
Yeah, but...
I think I forgot.
I'm homeless, boy.
So what that got to do with me? I ain't do that.
What's up? Damn.
I get it.
Yeah.
I know people, it's
tough, but
Do y'all know people that are like... very bad situations, whether they're financially or what have you, and they're like, they blame everyone but themselves.
Yeah. And there's one common denominator.
Yeah.
Every time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's always like the people who like will make use of your help, you kind of know it a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's always well, maybe this guy's I know he's a bit of a drunk, but he's not a bad person, and maybe he's like sober or whatever. But there's a few people you're just like, if I give it to him, nothing is fixed.
Yeah. I always call it it's a give a mouse a cookie situation.
Yeah.
You are now opening yourself to more favors.
Yes. Yeah.
It doesn't stop. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife's got family like that.
Oh, really?
That's the worst, man. It's family, because then it's like you can't tell, you know, your wife what to do. Like all you can do is give like advice.
Yeah.
And stuff, but like
when you're the person next to them.
Yeah, because my wife's the same thing. It has like family that's always like, you know, handouts and like asking for support, and it's like it's never reciprocated. They never call her to be like, "Hey, how are you doing?" It's always like, "I'm DEFCON 5, like I need fucking all you got."
Anyway. I'm really hoping nobody in my wife's family watches this one. It's to the point, like the level of like dirt Irish Brooklyn people that she comes from. I mean, like, dude, I thought I was garbage.
Yeah.
And I met some of my wife's family. One of them called everybody in the family saying that they were all going to Disney and that they were going to book the trip, and was bilking people for money, and then just never booked the trip. that level cool of fun. Like
I gotta say though, man, that's
despicable shit.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah, yeah, super despicable. But if that person is calling you and they're saying I'm gonna plan the trip, that person's never the one who's
the planner.
Everyone yeah. in my life, yeah. But her has deleted this person, and I refuse to let her because this person's social media is my joy.
Hey, I got a couple of those in my family too,
dude. What are those? Just, you know, when people have no boundaries,
yeah,
and they treat Facebook like no one's reading it.
Oh no, yeah.
Oh, like boy. Also, so little of it is read. What is really crazy is when a person like that posts, and then you read the comments.
Yes,
that shit. You're just like, oh my god, there's wait, more of
you. You go on a deep dive into other people's drama.
Yeah.
Oh, and it doesn't affect you at all.
Oh god,
it's luxurious.
It's like eating a bunch of licorice first thing in the morning. Like, I'm not getting this shit out of my teeth all day.
That's wild. Oh, wait, are we talking red licorice, black licorice?
It's just hot tamales.
I will say Australian licorice. That's how good it is.
Australian licorice.
I don't even know Australian licorice kicks ass.
Is it Paul Thomas Anderson?
No, it's, I swear to God, it's a you get it at the airport.
Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah, Australian licorice kicks ass.
The sequel to licorice pizza. That's fucking wild.
Yeah, she's got a family member, and
okay.
I'm trying to, I mean, it's so, there's no way for me to describe the situation without outing the person, but I'd say they've had their proclivities in the past.
Okay.
And they had a child.
Yeah.
Who has flippers?
Flippers?
What?
Flippers.
Like
flippers.
Like their hands are deformed?
No, they have just flippers. They don't have hands.
Oh.
There's no the digits.
There's nothing. Or there's like maybe one.
So
or
like
two.
They're like the real life penguin from Batman Returns.
Yeah, they got like that kind of thing going on.
Oh no.
And she complained that, and he's like young, like 10, 11. How she found dick pics on his cell phone on Facebook. Well, his grandma did because he lives with the grandma. But she found it. And then all I was thinking was like the ingenuity of this kid to take flipper dick pics.
That's hilarious.
I'm impressed.
But I will say the worst.
But she put it on Facebook like, you know, like the way you would put
like she just blasted in public. Like
she just the way you would be like, oh, I got a ticket today.
Just like I found his flipper dick pics. That's wild. I mean, it's embarrassing.
What a fucking crazy thing to do to that kid.
Yeah,
it's because I made two movies in Niagara Falls, the New York side.
Yeah,
and I'm still friends with a ton of people that were background people in it.
Yeah,
and it is just dude. It's like reading the police blotter. Just like, oh, my ex-boyfriend broke down my door last night and the cops are here and they said I can't get a restraining order for 48 hours.
Oh, God. You know what's even better is when somebody gets in the comments and they're like sticking up for the other person.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, you know, he's just having a rough time.
Oh, that is high. You're just like, she's like, that's not how it happened at all. And you can come
and then, like, somebody
and they'll
with,
put their address, like, come over.
Yeah,
like,
somebody with his last name starts commenting.
Yeah. Like, then you go to their page and you're like, oh, it's his son.
You know, Bobby loves you more than life itself. Come on.
Oh, it's
fucking
is.
Give him a wild.
Chance. It is my joy that's of all time.
I don't know how people air shit out like that. Like, it's always disgusting on social media when people give. I get a little release. I get it posting a grieving thing or I'm. Yeah. Like, it just happens.
But that's the. That's
but
the
some people, I'm just like. Fucking cap this well. This is like an emotional BP spill.
Well,
like,
you know, that's what people do for therapy. Yeah. They supplement it. Like, because they can't, you know, for whatever reason. So they just vent on Facebook. Like, I know so many older people that just, like, post about their day. Like, it's a diary. It's like,
dude,
fucking Doug.
Hood, Spanish Harlem Bronx dudes post on Facebook like they are 12-year-old girls. The way they air their drama. Yeah. They have no filter and no sense of this makes me look weird as shit.
Well, that's how you know they're not doing anything because if you had an actual job, like, people could Google that shit and then you're done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's insane.
But, oh, dude, the fucking drama of like a hardcore ghetto drama. Beautiful.
Well, that's how fuckers get arrested, too, because they be posting their crimes online.
And that shit is nuts.
That's hilarious.
I've never thought of like myself as a overly intelligent person, but like, putting my crime in a documented place, like
that was a guy. Like I watched like this docuseries. This guy was like posting about how to hack into like a,
I don't know if it was credit card machines or something like that. He was teaching people the codes for the coding to be able to break into machines and shit. And he was just posting it on like TikTok and like or Snap.
We had that in the Anarchist Cookbook growing up. I don't know if you guys had
that. I remember. I never read it, but yeah, I knew it. And like it would have like, this is how you make dynamite or whatever kind of
shit.
Well,
what we would do is we would hack vending machines. I mean, a very me crime.
Yeah. I did. Was this what, like hot salt water down?
No. So it was the buttons on the front of the old soda machines where it would be like, you know, like, just a big block that said Pepsi.
Yeah. Crush, whatever. Yeah, they're the rectangles and they're
big rectangles.
Yeah.
Those were numbered.
It was like a sugar water version of Simon.
Yes. But those are numbered.
Yeah.
So if you hit the right number.
Oh, that's how you open it. That's like a pin code.
How to reset the prices.
Mm.
So it was like, you know, it was like a list, but you had to do it, and then it would be like edit mode.
Yeah, there's codes for everything. Like, I watched this movie called The Luckiest Man in America or something like that, Paul Walter Hauser, and it's about him like...
The game show.
Yeah,
thing.
He does the game show, and he's able to crack the pattern, so he just starts banking money, and they're freaking out backstage, like, we're gonna go fucking destitution, like, we need to stop
this
he
guy. Just remembers the pattern, learns the timing on it. It's everything like a real story,
everything has
that's just autism coming online.
There's a little bit, a little bit of...
That's the same with The Perfect Bid, the Price is Right guy.
Which one was that?
So there's a guy, and he played Price Right, and he fucking annihilated. But he was definitely, like, no question. Like, that's beyond the spectrum.
Yeah.
And he loved Price is Right. He would go, because you just show up, and you might get picked.
Yeah, you might get picked, and you, like, you wait in line or whatever else. Yeah.
And he watched every day and had an Excel sheet.
Oh, yeah.
Of the prices of everything. And he
what a great amount of discipline. You know, these guys don't get enough credit for that.
Oh, no, this is brilliant. This is weaponizing
If they
it.
Did this into push-ups, they'd be super soldiers. You know?
And he would, he made a Price is Right home game on his computer.
Oh, shit.
So he would just run prices all day.
I have the trailer if you want to see.
Yeah, sure.
God, yes, I want to see it.
I'm surprised you guys haven't seen this.
All of my name tags and
it's the doc?
Cards.
Wow.
Yeah.
All the tapings I've been to. Pretty sure it was 37 altogether. So 1 week I got into like watching Price is Right from like 1973. The same refrigerator freezer is on 4 different episodes that I watched, and it was $789 all 4 times. I'm like, well, see, there it is. There's proof.
So oh, he was a math teacher too.
Oh, okay.
Start tracking prices.
Good for you.
Records.
I love that shit.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is the program he made at home.
It's just sad that people don't know the whole story.
They got him looking evil, though.
Yeah.
So did they, like, they're accusing him of, like, some kind of fraud or something?
So what would happen is he wouldn't get picked, but he'd still be in the audience, and you know how the audience can help you?
Yeah.
People just went, oh, everybody listen to that. And it was like a stretch where people that would go a lot would be like, listen to him.
Yeah, he knows it every time.
And he would just carry people through everything.
Wow.
To the penny. Because they would just start looking at
them. So they're costing everybody a lot of... Yeah.
So they're just...
Losing their asses on this. Yeah.
Taking a beating.
That's amazing.
And eventually they're like... I think they were like, just somebody pick... Because once you go up, you can't play for...
Like a year or whatever.
I think it's long. It might be like 10 years.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Damn.
So I think they were like, get this fucking guy out of here. Give it like...
Also, just playing it. Be like, that fridge at $7.89... 788. Like, you know he's going to pick it.
Yeah.
So, like, let him telegraph his punch a little bit. And, like, be like, sorry.
So, eventually they pick him, and he just fucking sweeps it.
Yeah, I can't believe they didn't fix the prices. If they knew he knew the prices somehow.
So, that's the thing. As we've learned recently, I got a little trouble with celebrity chefs for spreading a few porkies about how celebrity chef shows work. I thought sous chefs did a lot of the work. And I was wrong.
Oh, really? Were you actually wrong?
Oh, I was wrong.
Oh, yeah?
They let
you have it?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
What happened?
I said it on, they clipped it. I talked about it last week a little, so I'll do it quick. But
yeah.
I did an episode of this where I was like, oh, I had heard that on those shows that like there's a sous chef remaking what you do, and that's what's on camera.
Yeah,
just something I heard that I must have assumed into truth in my brain. You know how you
Yeah. I can see how you got there.
But celebrity chefs do have like culinary designers and stuff. Yeah, like, if like you're a certain level, like a Bobby Flay or something like that, you do have a team that like curates designs and how you're supposed to put stuff together.
Well, however I worded it was incorrect.
Okay.
Because my comments lit up.
Really?
With all checkmark chefs.
Oh. Really?
Dude, Andrew Zimmern fucking ate my ass a lot. A paragraph.
Well, he's the one who eats the weird food, right?
Of vitriol. Yes.
I mean, that must have been pleasurable, though. You know?
A paragraph of vitriol. This is the biggest load of bullshit I've ever seen in the history of the internet.
That's being a bit hyperbolic, I'm sure. But I can't...
And they just came for me, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What an asshole. Yeah. He doesn't know what he's talking
about.
Because
you said that they have somebody else plate the food and put it out. And
a recreation.
Yeah.
But because of game show laws, you have to do everything fair if there's money being awarded. And if they find out that you are tampering, it could, like, fuck up the whole show.
Yeah, the FCC and stuff like that will get on your... Well, it's supposed to get on your ass.
So I think that's the reason...
It's in a rigged game, essentially, is what they're saying.
So that's why I think with Price Was Right, they can't... Like, if those are the numbers on file...
I see.
Yeah, because remember the numbers on file. Because remember... So I looked into that story, like, the movie with Paul Walter Hauser and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they really did try to fuck with him. Like, and it's, like, a whole thing. They don't show the episode anymore. CBS never airs it. And they did all these mind games with him to throw him off. Because they couldn't, like you said, they couldn't rig like the game itself in real time. It's all Picata.
Well, yeah,
all these games are.
I have one. Well, it's not my story, but do you guys know Josh Androsky? You know who he is?
No, please.
He's a comic from L.A., but he was on Price Is Right. He has an amazing episode of This American Life. For his birthday, he grew up in L.A. For his birthday, he went to the Price Is Right on mushrooms.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah, and like he went with a bunch of people, and they called him, and went down. And it's like, you can see some of the footage, but like he opens the bid with $1. Like they're like, he goes first and he picks $1 or whatever. And they're like, what? You know? And he's kind of a wild looking dude. And he's like, he has a hat on that says Big Papa. And Drew Carey is just like, he goes, tell me what you do for a living. And he goes, I'm a skateboard rabbi. And he goes, and they cut it, but there's like this line. He goes, what does a skateboard rabbi do? And he goes, we turn religious extremism into religious extremism.
That's awesome.
Yeah, this is it right here.
Oh, shit.
That's Josh on the right.
We're going to start with you. For that, I'm going to bid $1. $1! All right, Big Papa bids a dollar. That's what I'm talking
He's
about.
He's just tripping out right now.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that's got to be wild.
Yeah, This American Life on it's fantastic.
I would fall apart.
Yeah.
Big Papa.
I think he gets picked, if I remember correctly.
Bid a dollar.
Flying.
He's like, he is the Forrest Gump of comedy. Like, there's another thing. He won $1 million on a Big Bang Theory slot machine in Vegas.
Oh, my God.
I swear to God. And then he was going to use the money to run for L.A. County Sheriff. Yeah, I haven't talked to him in years, but he was a fun.
He won $1 million in a slot machine.
Yeah, in Vegas. Yeah.
The most I ever won was $5,000 in Sex and the City.
$25,000 on a penny slots,
yeah.
Hey guys, today's episode is brought to you by our wonderful friends at Small Batch Cigar. Simple, fast, Small Batch. Having cigars in the house is a sign of class, a sign of affluence, a sign of intelligence. Three things I don't have. Luckily, our friends at Small Batch Cigar can walk even an idiot like me through it. They have free shipping on every order, with almost every order arriving within 2 to 3 days in the continental United States. It's the most thorough packaging in the industry. That's right. It comes with that Bovita pack, so your cigars come very fresh. They have an amazing selection of rare, limited, and hard-to-find cigars, and you earn 5% rewards points instantly. So head on over to smallbatchcigar.com today, and most people click the new button first to shop the newest arrivals. And you can use our discount code GAS10, GAS10, to get 10% off plus 5% rewards points. Try them out today, Small Batch Cigar. Simple, fast, Small Batch. Let's get back into the show.
My my biggest gambling win, I think, was $2,500 on a Super Bowl box.
Okay.
And I didn't know I won because I was home tripping on mushrooms watching a movie. I did not know the Super Bowl was on.
Fucking mushrooms.
Do you guys gamble a lot on these like DraftKings apps and this kind of
stuff? No, no.
I have been known to every once in a while on our friend Prize Picks.
Yeah. I'm worried about it because I bet on boxing, right?
Yeah.
And I've just been getting into it like the past few months.
Yeah.
And it's too savory. Like, I really...
I am banned.
The worst thing that can happen, I feel, is like you get a little success on your first one.
Yeah, you know what happened like to me? I was betting on UFC for a while.
Okay.
Not in a legal way. Not like with our friends' Prize Picks. and I got a little too close to the sun.
Oh,
and I was just putting in
too
much. Stupid bets. Not stupid, but like
reckless.
Uneducated bets.
Oh, okay. It wasn't like an Adam Sandler.
You kind of started getting that way of looking at the money like, well, this is what I...
Yeah, and I was coming out on the other end of it pretty good with little bets, and then I just start, I lost some cash the night Connor broke his leg.
Oh.
And that one hurt.
Yeah.
That one hurt bad, because I was like, man, I was real pumped on it.
Yeah.
And then you just, it's almost you feel the poof of your money.
Well, you saw the poof when you saw his leg break.
You saw his leg break, and I was like, no!
I'm ruined.
It's like a wishbone from a turkey for you.
I had called the night Lesnar fought Mark Hunt.
Okay.
I called that entire card.
Oh, really?
And I didn't parlay it.
Oh, damn.
And it made me sick. I called every fight on that card. And it was like me and my friends were all just putting money in per fight.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, if I had done that, so now I was fucking hot on myself.
Yeah, I can't do the apps and stuff. I got gambling addiction in my family, so like I can't literally family members have ruined themselves doing it. So having an app available,
it's
like
pretty
that'd be
easy to see how people get addicted if you fuck with it a little bit. You know?
Yeah, I love
I called two of the three fights right in my parlay on Saturday night, mm-hmm. and then I was like, God damn.
Tim McLaughlin has a great story because he'll do like.
He's the funniest person alive.
Tim McLaughlin's so fucking funny. If for people who don't know him, he's on the show all the time.
Yeah.
He did like a 12 part. Like he'll bet $5
on a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
On a bunch of just how many catches, how many yards.
Yeah, like all these prop bets.
Parlay
kind of
them all, and he won Shannon. I want to say it was like $20,000 on like. A $15 bet.
Oh, shit.
Good God, really?
Something crazy. Damn. He lost it immediately.
Yeah. Of course.
He's also
had to make his girlfriend so mad.
He's also won like a shitload in poker and immediately.
Yeah, he's a good Tim's. He came over and he hung a bunch of stuff at the apartment because he's like very handy. And my buddy that I rent from was like, I told him, but Tim, I was like, Tim can do all this, and he goes, okay, and he goes. That dude made me uncomfortable. He kept calling himself a fucking idiot the whole time.
Yep, that sounds right.
He's just sitting there hanging a picture, calling himself an idiot like I'm a fucking idiot.
That's wild.
Yeah, my favorite Tim thing is one time like I was like, you still working at the bowling game? He's like, nah, Micah made me quit. I kept getting electrocuted.
I kept getting electrocuted.
He would go to fix the bowling machines and just wake up on the ground like smoking.
Oh, like he was getting knocked out. It wasn't like
he was getting electrocuted.
Oh, like somebody was like, what's the lightning strike in the back? Like,
oh my God.
Every time somebody hit a strike, he shits his pants.
you have to ask him the story of next time he's on about him and Mike, how they got together.
Oh, I will.
Because it's
Shannon, put a pin in that.
It's so fucking funny because he's just like, I was like, how'd you guys get together? I won't tell the whole story. He goes, well, I was going to Cobra Club every week because I liked how mean she was to everyone.
Love is love, man.
Yeah.
He must either have the nicest or meanest mom.
I bet she's very nice.
I bet she's overly nice.
Yeah. I can bet.
He likes a little spice in his life. You know,
he's the most Midwestern guy I've ever met in my entire life.
Oh, yeah. It drips out of him.
Yeah.
What a sweetheart.
Yeah.
I was telling you, I just want to tell people, dude, Begonia, fucking bang.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet.
You're going to love it. I guarantee you're going
to
be pumped.
Do I need to be in a mood for it? Like,
yeah,
is it one of those kind of...
You can't go in like hunky-dory and like
I just
happy.
Do I just want to see a movie?
I mean, it's pretty fucking intense, man, from my jump. It's not a...
I wouldn't watch it and then be like, now let's go have a happy night out.
Yeah,
Yeah, like,
maybe like sit back, have like a glass of whiskey or something like that, and just, you know,
I would say it's not a 2 p.m. movie.
Okay.
Yeah. It is an 8 p.m. after movie, maybe.
That's good. Yeah, that's a good time to watch.
And because I watch crazy
girlfriend
shit.
Or no girlfriend?
I would say girlfriend.
Girlfriend, fine. Yeah. Really good acting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I feel like a queef saying this. One of the main characters is on the spectrum, and they actually cast an autistic guy. He's fucking great.
Yeah. It's one of the most natural castings.
It's the most not a performance. He's like, oh, no, that's probably how that guy fucking talks.
Yeah. Were you annoyed? Did you ever see Good Time, the Safdie brother movie?
Yeah.
Were you annoyed with Benny Safdie in that movie? Like,
a little bit.
I was really bothered by that. Like, after I learned who Benny Safdie was, I was like, wait a minute.
Is he the one that's always in movies?
Yeah, he's the actor. He's the actor one.
But he's the one that's in Happy Gilmore, too.
Yeah. And stuff like that. But he, I remember.
What a clip. That was like a YouTube supercut.
It was nuts how bad. It was literally just cameos and clips from the other movies.
A lot of people like it, though.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
It was terrible. It was so bad. And then they kill Julie Bow. Sorry, Barry.
Yeah.
They kill her immediately.
After doing all the press that she was coming back. Where she's like, you know, it's not like one of those movies where he gets a younger girlfriend.
What's so interesting is like.
She's so hot still.
She's still a smoke.
Yeah. I think she's hotter now than she was in Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, Modern Family, she like got really, like, I don't know. Yeah,
she's hotter now.
She's
so
hot.
She's a babe the whole time. But I think it's like, it's hard to make a movie.
You 100%.
It's really hard. Yeah. Like.
I am 0-50.
Yeah,
if I walk by a movie set, it's a bad movie, and I know that.
Trust me. The New Jersey Devil came.
Yeah, I'm 0-0.
I shot my first movie last year.
Okay,
right, and I was like, and it was like, you know, fairly low budget production. Yeah. And I was just like, this is so hard.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because everybody's wearing different hats.
It's a lot of work.
So, like, I have, like, a great amount of sympathy having seen what it takes. But I was just like, this is not – the effort in this does not seem maximal. Well, you know, like – because, like, when I watched another Sandler movie, Hustle, which I thought was going to be just kind of a movie, I really liked it. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it.
But that's a good
team. But this was – I was just like, this is – this felt like cash –
yeah, but Hustle's a different team, though. That's like a different creative team. That's a creative team that's like taking it seriously. They clearly had a script. You know what I mean? Like, I think the Happy Madison movies, they just kind of have fun. Like, because I never hear anything bad about Adam Sandler. I always hear, like, it's fun.
That he's the nicest, right?
Yeah.
And there was a story going around that I was probably AI this week that his daughter got went into, like, a Chanel store or something, and they wouldn't serve because she had on, like, a hoodie and shorts. And she called him, and he showed up. And really changed their mind on what bag she was. They wouldn't
so
let
she
her
dresses
touch.
Like her father. Yeah,
I was at WME.
I could be wrong.
I was at WME for a screening for The Fabelmans, right? Like all these big shots in Hollywood. Adam Sandler is in a hoodie and shorts to introduce the movie. And even in his speech, he's like, I haven't watched the whole thing. I heard it's good, though. I think Steve did apparently he did a really good job. Enjoy, guys. And then he leaves. So you're just like, he's that guy. Like, he's Adam Sandler.
I mean, he must move like a fucking gangster.
Well,
like in a good way. I'll do it the way I want.
Exactly, yeah.
And as far as, like, what he does, I get it. It's like, you pick an exotic location. You take your family, especially when the kids were younger. Now the kids are in the movies, but the kids are younger.
I got feelings about that, but, yeah.
Every summer, me and my family go to fucking Africa. Yeah. We go to fucking a water park. Yeah, wherever the movie's going to be. Hawaii. For 51st days or whatever. Yeah. And, you know, we know what kind of movie we make.
Yeah, that's not...
I'm fine with that.
That's
dude,
not
I
my
loved
issue.
Hubie Halloween. Because I went, oh, this is going to be
that
retarded.
That was silly. That was silly. Yeah,
I can take something in the context it's supposed to be done in.
Yeah. Yes.
But I just thought Happy Gilmore 2 was just like, it was just celebrity and
it's
promo.
Nonsensical.
Like, you know what
it
I mean?
It was just celebrities and then celebrities recreating the scenes from the first one, which is like the trap sequels fall in, which is how do we redo the beats?
That's why I hate Anchorman 2. I was like,
Anchorman 2 stinks.
It not only followed the same beats from the first one, it also integrated like Talladega Nights shit. And you're like, wait, Adam McCabe, Will Ferrell, you guys are better than this. What's happening?
Yeah,
like,
you've created your universe.
Yeah, it's insane.
I think it's like you said, like they all recreate each other. They kind of do that trap where they fall into one. They're trying to do the same thing again and again.
Yeah, look at Jurassic Park, the first one when they rebooted it.
Yeah,
it's all the beats of Jurassic Park,
it was.
But with one dinosaur bigger.
Yeah, But I did think it worked opening the park. I thought that was a cool element of it. But after that, it was a shit show.
Who was that Hollywood executive from like the Golden Age? He always just said, "Bring me the same thing but different."
Oh, I don't know that one.
But that's all of them shit.
Yeah, but like that was like what like it's like that's what it feels like.
Yeah,
yeah, you know, like this was the hit.
Yes.
How do we raise it or like you know just change?
Every pitch meeting, it's like one of the first questions is what's the comp? Like you know what I mean? Like that they always want to know like how can I sell this? That to something related that people love and shit.
Like, I mean, I guess the heyday of comedies for, I don't know how old you guys are, but like the age group was just like the early 2000s, every bromance was the same movie, more or less.
And they all star Freddie Prinze Jr. or Jason Biggs.
Or like, or there was like the Paul Rudd, I love, like the, like even off the Apatow universe, there was some.
Yeah, well, they have that great joke at the, one of the roasts. Nick Kroll does it, I think. He's like, how ugly, Seth Rogen's here. He has a part named Evan Goldberg. How ugly is this guy that you're the face of the operation? I just picture a sweaty Orthodox Jew eating a pastrami sandwich going, "Sethy, baby, I added 10 more dick jokes to page 3, and I was thinking maybe they smoke a lot of ganja, and then they're friends, and then they're not friends, and at the end of the movie, they're friends again."
God damn it.
I love comedy. But I agree. Happy Gilmore 2, I was just like, what?
It just left
the Eminem cameo was fucking nuts.
It was retarded.
I'm like, why does he look like this, first of all?
And why is he just playing a dead guy? He's just an unrelated dead guy.
Yeah. I mean, this does, I will say this for Happy Gilmore 2. The proof that all of these celebrities want to be in it shows you how insane the first one was as influential film. You know, like, because it's not just people like my age that are supposed to like that movie. It's like all the way down to Margaret Qualley, like, you know, 20 years younger than me.
Yeah.
Like, every peep, like over, under, like it shows you how the longevity of that film
and
influence
I'm
it had.
Probably the exact age. So I'm 38.
Yeah. I'm a little older than you.
But we're the age, like, I remember the kids who were a little older than me, that being like them being obsessed with Sandler.
Yeah.
And I get every part of it. If they had done that to Billy Madison, it would have hurt my feelings.
I feel the same way. I'm like, don't touch Billy Madison. Do not fucking revisit that. I mean, I actually think there's more fodder, though, to work with in Billy Madison sequel than there was Abby Gilmore.
I actually think so, too, because he inherits the whatever. Like, he inherits
the hotel.
Also easy. Well, no, that's a... Mr. Deeds, right?
No, that's Billy Madison.
Billy Madison? Okay. Madison Hotels.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. But the
Eric's pregnant.
But the Billy Madison, you know, there's so much like, you know, turmoil with the education system. He could have a kid that like is fucking the same thing. Like you could retread it, but still make it really, really funny. Because there's so much fodder with like education shit. Like Abbott Elementary's proven that. So Sandler doing that, or Sandler could be a teacher, like for some reason.
Well, he does go to back, I mean, if you remember, he gives the hotel to the guy who was fake Kramer.
He gives
on Seinfeld when they made the Seinfeld show.
It was the guy
that played Kramer. Okay, he was also the guy that owned the junkyard in Breaking Bad.
Yes.
That's a specific
point. Guy's got range.
It's
just crazy. He's just playing himself every time.
He did go to school. He said he was going to college to become a teacher.
Yeah.
I think the funny thing to do there is, and I don't know, because I guess they tried it with Happy Gilmore too. I think he should become a rich prick. And have to re-find Happy.
Interesting.
Or re-find Billy, you know, I think he should have fucked it all up.
I think that's the way you do that. But they're one of the few family-owned hotel chains left in the world, and it's a comment on globalism. And like, so they're trying to be brought out by Hilton or whatever.
That would make sense,
So you do like kind of a Tommy Boy. All I want is the goddamn box.
And I think I think Bradley Whitford's character like makes more sense to bring back as the enemy than what they did with Happy Gilmore 2 and all that stuff. You know what
I
mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, because he has...
Yeah. I really wanted more... Like, Shooter and him were so amazing in the first one.
Yeah, they had none of that.
It was so forced, which kind of was like... I liked seeing them go... I mean, I guess they go at each other a little bit in the second one.
But
just the back and forth quipping and stuff.
And I hated... I guess it was a comment on what? The new golf they're doing in Saudi Arabia?
The third act is such a fucking mess.
The third act, it was just like this weird scene. Like, nobody cared about Abby Gilmore because of the cool golf. And it's just like these weird CG, fake courses. And it's just like it added this element where now it almost looks like that Pixel movie or whatever the fuck it was.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Pixels, yeah. With, Peter Dinklage and Adam Sandler. And
stuff. Yeah.
Give it to Sandler, though, man. He really, he's not afraid to try shit.
No, not at all.
Like, yeah. I like, you know, like, he was like, yeah, why won't I do
it? And
like,
he mixes it up. Like, that's the thing. It's like, he is very underrated. Like, he got washed out in this Oscar race for, you know, for Jay Kelly or whatever. But he, like, has shown, like, I can actually act and stuff. So he has respect on the industry. It's just, you know, good on him for having the freedom to do what he wants, because no one could tell him no. And
there's all, I will say that there's movies, the non-Adam Sandler movies, of a certain, House Bunny's great. Grandma's Boy is fucking brilliant.
It's really
House
Bunny's
with what's her name, right?
Anna Faris.
Yeah, she's.
There's a couple really good. Dirty Work.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's
These are all Happy Madison movies, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I feel like they're all in the wheelhouse. Well, those two were. I don't know. I don't think Dirty Work.
I don't know
if
Dirty Work was, but yeah,
Sandler's in it.
Yeah, Sandler's in Dirty Work. Oh yeah, he plays the devil. Devil. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey guys, today's episode is brought to you by Kratom, home of the $60 kilo. If you do Kratom, if you don't start on my account. But if you use Kratom for one of its many, many benefits, only get it from one place, our friends at YoKratom.com, because they have the best strains, the best customer service, and they're the marquee sponsor of everything we do here at Gas Digital. So stop going to these bodegas or smoke shops or gas stations, getting a little bit of Kratom at a time, you don't even know what's in there. When you go to YoKratom.com today, there's no promo code needed, because it's already the best deal in the world of Kratom. $60 for a whole kilo, delivered right to your gosh darn door. So check them out today, guys. Let's go, YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into the show, baby.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think it's interesting. Like, it's so much easier to hate on him for Happy Gilmore, too. And then he should have, and nobody's talking about the hate we should be giving is that he was not nominated for his role in Jay Kelly.
Yeah,
you know, like, yeah.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah, like, it's just easier to, like, dog the dude out, which is a fucking shame.
Yeah,
really.
It sucks. Because it's like whiplash being an Adam Sandler fan. You're like, you know, you love his comedy, and then he'll do, like, a hustle, and you're like, this guy's fucking good. And then, like, it'll do, like, a weird comedy, like a... I like Tubi Hollywood, but a lot of people hated that one.
I didn't see that.
It was McDonald's, dude.
Yeah.
It was exactly what you knew what you were getting.
Yeah.
It was dumb. It made me laugh.
I loved Murder Mystery.
Murder Mystery was great.
The first one was really good.
Murder Mystery was very, very good.
How many movies has he made?
He's got a quote recently where he's like, before I die, I'd like to make about 50 more movies. About 25 will be good.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But yeah, that's kind of how movies work, too.
Yeah, yeah, like nobody bats 1,000. Yeah, like
Scorsese has bad movies.
Oh, yeah. What's his worst movie, you think?
It depends. Like, there's a stretch for a while where he wasn't hitting.
What do you think? Better question. What do you think his most underrated movie is?
After Hours.
After Hours.
Really?
I was saying,
love After Hours. And, you know, I know people don't like it.
I cannot stand
it. I love bringing out.
Well, I hate the main actor. I don't like him.
Okay.
I like him in This Is Us, but like that actor, I'm blanking on his name, but like I did not like him in the main role for After Hours. Underrated. I would say Bringing Out the Dead.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah. Nicolas Cage. That was an interesting.
Nick Cage, Tom Sizemore, like everybody he's paired with in it is awesome.
He threw a lot out there, and like it doesn't quite hit, but like that was an experimental.
There's some great fucking scenes in that movie, though. Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah, and then my favorite is Cape Fear. I just think Cape Fear is so fucking.
I get so uncomfortable, the Juliette Lewis scene with the finger. So uncomfortable, dude.
She's young, too.
It's really bad.
I just always have the, whenever I think of Cape Fear, I just think of him doing the dips.
Yeah,
I'm just like, ah.
That's one of the best Simpsons parodies ever.
The best ever. I think that might be Conan. One of the last Conans.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Because Monorail, I know, is Conan.
Mm. Yeah.
But I think Cape Fear might be Conan, too.
I wouldn't be surprised, yeah.
What makes that work is it's the whole episode.
Yes.
If you see the episode first, you watch the movie. It kind of did to Cape Fear what Walk Hard did to biopics.
Just throughout, showed you the whole formula, and then you're just like, oh, well, now I know exactly how all these work.
But Cape Fear is also a remake. That was already kind of in the culture. Pretty much all the beats.
I will say Nick Nolte and De Niro both trying to out-crazy each other is a sight to behold. You know, it's like, I always love when actors try to outcreate, like Pacino and Leto in like House of Gucci.
Mm-hmm.
They're both fucking nuts with those accents. And then there's one scene where they're just screaming at each other. I'm like, this is cinema, guys. This is, I don't know, but
De Niro in Cape Fear when he rapes Nolte's side piece.
And he bites her face.
I got you now, bitch!
That's a rough.
He got his teeth filed down for that, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
He had his teeth.
He does some wild method stuff.
Yeah. I want to say he had his teeth like filed down tiny paid for it himself and then got new teeth after that movie. Because he's got tiny little teeth in that movie.
What's the thinking?
I think that he's just poor and has bad teeth.
Yeah. Oh, it's okay, yeah.
And how it you changes doing? The same. It makes his face look...
It's so funny to think.
How Robert you doing, Kyle? Kyle paid a dentist $5,000 to grind down and ruin his teeth to create a more menacing, derelict appearance. And then paid another $20,000 to have his teeth returned.
Damn.
Yeah, he can't do the method stuff anymore, though. I think like a bunch of directors have had to talk him down to like, hey, you can't. Like, he, for the longest time, wanted to play younger. And with the Irishman, he was finally worse. But then no one told him, like, hey, man, you know, you can't move, though, like a 30-year-old man.
So, well, the thing that
That was like when he was throwing the gun in the river.
The stomp.
Yeah.
The stomps outside the store, the little old man stomps. Yeah. The thing that bothered me about the Irishman, nobody went, hey, you know, we got to fix their ears.
They all
have giant old man ears.
That's funny.
Nobody fixes it, and it drives me nuts.
Yeah.
I would have never noticed that.
It's crazy.
I can't understand, because the stomp was the big thing in the episode, right?
And the hand, like, if you look at his, it's like a weird, like, it's just, he looks
Or when he throws the gun away in the river and he's like hopping on the stick, the rocks, you know, whatever. Like, I just couldn't understand why they didn't shoot it where, like, there's a boot coming down. You know, like, there's another way to show this. And you're Martin Scorsese. You know how to do all it.
Yeah,
like,
it's weird.
Or a body double.
Well, I think...
Yeah,
I think,
or just, like, the guy looks up and there's a foot coming down on his face and you cut to teeth coming out of his head.
I think that's De Niro. Like, I can do it. Because we saw...
I guess it's probably very hard to say to notice someone of that stature.
I saw, like, the opening, like, the premiere of House to Lois, right? The Spike Lee movie with Denzel. And there's a scene where they do, like, the taking cuts.
Oh, is this the thing where he's the new one that came out?
Yeah, like, and they do, like, the taking cuts where Denzel's character's, like, jumping over a fence and stuff, right? And the audience, like, Denzel and Spike are there in the audience, and the audience is laughing because they're like, you know, that's not Denzel doing that shit. But I think De Niro's like, I can do it, guys. And they're like, you know, we could bring in somebody. Like, no, I got it.
Now, I will say the worst playing young is, and he does it egregiously in two different movies, Travolta.
Which movies are you thinking about?
And it's Gotti.
That's one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my
life. If you have not sat through.
I've not. I know, because on my streaming, I know the image. Yeah.
It's,
I
watched however Gotti, bad you think it's going to be.
It's worse. I watched Gotti drugged up in a hospital bed after I had lung surgery. Jesus. And it was worse than the surgery. It was so bad. It's so offensive. It Kevin Connolly, like it ruined his career, I think.
Well, first of all,
I know Kevin Connolly.
Yeah,
I went to the red light district with him and Amsterdam.
Really?
With him and Bert. Yeah. He was there, like, filming something, and I was with Bert.
Did everyone call him E everywhere he went? Is that, like, a thing for him?
No, I mean, he was, like, it was, like, a good group of people, so nobody was busting balls, but, like... We were all. I
meant like just like regular.
You know,
people
I fancy myself a pretty like leftist dude.
Yeah.
For whatever, but like I was like, maybe I'm a little more bro than I thought. If I'm going to the red light district with one of the guys from Entourage and a guy who never wears a shirt that calls himself the Machine.
Yeah. Hey, when in Rome, man.
Yeah.
When in Amsterdam.
Yeah, it was a good time. Yeah, and he was a fucking sweetheart.
Okay.
Yeah, he was an awesome dude.
Good thing you didn't see Gotti before you met him, though.
This is what I'll say about Gotti. Imagine. One of the guys from Entourage made a John Gotti movie. And now imagine one of the guys from Entourage made a John Gotti movie.
Oh.
And there's a lot of people from like Entourage in it, too.
Did he like make the movie? Like he directed it?
Yeah.
It's like he's playing photos. Because he's wearing Gotti's real clothes. I think the family donated shit. So they're very much placating to the family. They're making it like, oh, he was a neighborhood guy and everything was better with him.
But wasn't it even like time-wise? It was like off. Like I remember they play like
completely
a
off.
They play like a Pitbull song in the background. You're like, wait a minute, this is like in the 90s. Like,
and
what are we doing?
He plays multiple ages, and you can never figure out how old he's supposed to be.
He was the same age the whole time.
And there's another one where he plays. I forget the name.
The fan guy when he's like the obsessed fan.
No, I'm obsessed. That's a whole other can of worms.
Yeah, with the neurodiversity thing. The fanatic. Yeah, that was nuts. Yeah.
I'll talk about that in a second. The fanatic.
Fred Durst directed that.
Yes, he did and wrote it.
Oh my God. Yeah,
but there's another one where he plays the guy who was selling speedboats to coke smugglers.
Yeah. Was that Need for Speed? It's on Hulu.
No,
I know
that's,
what he's on.
Need for Speed is like a car movie. Right?
Yeah.
And he's done up to be younger.
Speed Kills.
Speed Kills. Thank you.
Thank you, Shannon.
And he's got a scene where he's in a phone booth, and he's young in the face and hair. Like, they gave him a young wig and makeup, but they left his hands. And you know how old guys will get the arm hair that goes up to their pinky?
Yeah, like it, you get a little more woolly bully kind of. Yeah.
Dude, he's on the phone with a young face and an old hand.
Oh, no.
And no, I guess no Travolta, like, if we lose, if, like, if we send him back to the trailer now, he's going to, like, molest three more people. Like, let's just let's get the shot.
Holy shit.
But, okay, The Fanatic, I'm upset. I've seen The Fanatic. Infinite times.
That's one of the most offensive movies I've ever seen. He's so fucking out of control.
Is it like a bad movie? Well, like, I mean, I don't know what it is, and I'm truly like, yeah.
Yeah, he's like he's obsessed with like this horror series that Devin Sawa from.
So
like,
it's Devin Sawa is an actor, and John Travolta is an autograph collector.
Okay, and Devin Sawa plays an actor in this movie.
Plays an actor in this movie.
Horror films.
Hunter Duncan or something like that. Duncan something. I trust me. I've seen it five times. I made my family watch it on Christmas.
Oh my God. I mean, it is a sight to behold. It's like, it's so fucking troubling.
And Travolta, his day job, first of all, before we even get into the plot of the movie, he's a character in Man's Chinese Square. You know, like the bilk tourist for pictures?
Yeah.
But because it's not an expensive movie, they can't include copywritten characters.
Oh.
So he's just a Bobby, like a London Bobby.
Yeah, it's weird.
Oh, like a...
He's just standing.
Hello. So welcome to Hollywood, where dreams are made. Because, you know, when you go to...
Man's this is John
Theater.
Travolta?
Oh, yeah.
And he's supposed to be on the spectrum, and so, like, he's very awkward and, like...
He goes to he gets invited to a premiere party, and he orders a strawberry milkshake and does it, and like argues with the bartender, like, why can't you make me a strawberry milkshake?
I love that.
Shane,
it's really it's
so
wild.
The movie is that
I do like
it's wild.
I have starts, had a, I have
when
Shane, I bartender would have people like that.
So at least Shane can see what he looks
he
like in the movie.
He starts stalking the actor. and it's written and directed by Fred Durst. There's at least five different points where it fades to black, and you go, "Huh, that's how it ended." And then it just keeps going.
It keeps going, yeah.
And then it ends super sad.
I have the trailer if you want to see a little bit of it.
Sure.
Please, God.
God.
His friends are paparazzi. Why this old autistic man is friends with a 20-year-old paparazzi is never explained.
Yeah, that's how he looks.
Is Hunter Dunbar here tonight?
That's enough.
I need to get an autograph.
Don't let him do this to me.
I'm a fan.
I'm a number one fan.
Is it difficult to find famous people's houses?
I use my Star Map app. You have to be careful. I don't want you to be accused of stalking.
Hey, you can't just come to my private residence looking for me. Listen, pal, I don't know how you found me, but I don't ever want to see you in this neighborhood again.
What?
That's fucking nuts.
Help! I just wanted an autograph! Wait! Wait! Wait!
Out of your mind?
I'd be honest, based on that trailer, I would watch that movie.
Okay, right. So now
get
here's where, and I've seen a bunch of, also, so this is what's funny about it. He took out a full page ad in Variety.
Who did?
Travolta.
Okay.
For your consideration, best actor.
No, he did it.
John Travolta.
Himself.
In The Fanatic, because he was so proud of his performance.
I do think he has one more good performance before all is said and done.
I bet he does.
I bet he's
got more than one.
Well, I bet he's got a few.
I'm saying one because he's not going to get more than that.
I don't know, man. I'm a Travolta fan.
Yeah.
But
sure.
He keeps getting off.
I love Face
amazing,
Off.
Amazing. Yeah.
Another movie out crazying each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it works.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's been in some pretty bad movies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
He keeps getting opportunities. So I think that's why I think he can have more than one good performance left in. Like,
but it's
got to
be a good movie overall. It can't be he's a great performer. Like, he gets a great performance.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you on that. Yeah, but like.
Like, if Tarantino puts him in, like, his last movie, there's promise there.
If he gets to, yeah, maybe he's the second banana on the kind of, like, he's not, he's Val Kilmer as opposed to Kurt Russell in Tombstone.
Yeah.
If he gets a few of those.
So here's why the him buying the ad is super sad. I think he's doing Jet.
What?
His dead autistic son.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Travolta had.
I don't want to talk about this anymore. I'm telling you right now.
Travolta had.
I don't want to talk about
this. Special needs.
Every time. I know.
And
I think he's
playing Jet.
And this is
his love
crazy.
Letter to his
this,
dead
I think
son.
He's playing you if you think that.
RIP to Jet. RIP to Kelly Preston.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Gotti's her last movie, right?
Yes.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all right. I just remember Jerry Maguire. That's all I need to remember.
Well, because they already has a story about
For Love of the Game.
Oh, yeah.
Already has a story about being on Jerry Maguire, and they were playing catch in the lot, and a little kid ran up and he threw the ball to him, and all these Scientologists ran over and were like, "You do not talk to Jet Travolta. You do not play with him," because they were hiding the fact that he was nonverbal or something.
Fucking disgusting.
Is he drowned in the tub? Like, weird.
This is so depressing. I can't.
And I'm convinced
that
the Fanatic is his tribute to his son.
Your theories are fucking crazy.
It's not.
I'm telling you.
Pick it apart.
Yeah.
Pick it apart.
I'm picking it apart right now like a fly's wings. I swear to God. You think he took out of Adam Variety is proud of his performance?
Yes.
And then you make the insane jump.
Yes.
You're admitting it's an insane jump?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I do. There's a reason I'm wrong about shit.
Are we even arguing this?
I'm a big fan of going A to D without looking at B and C.
Yeah, you sure are. Shit.
But so he's got, like, ticks in it and shit, and, like, whatever you would call it. Like, he, like, smells his ear the whole movie. And I'm going, he got that. From something.
He's a great actor.
Is he?
You're not saying he got that from something. You're saying he got it from.
I think he did. I do not think that.
I do not think that. And I believe you are an SP and I am an operating Thetan on a level of six.
Okay. All right. Let's get one more thing out of here. Everybody saw The Boxer Lose His Wig, right?
Yes.
I watched it live.
Wig blown back.
Just absolutely brilliant.
Why not just shave your head?
You know, like, I wanted to say this, like, I was going to do some kind of clip about it, but, like, that's Jarrell Miller. He's from Brooklyn. Yeah. He's, like, from Brownsville or East New York or something like that. The one thing we can all agree on in this day and age, black men always look better with a shaved head.
Yes. Like, yeah.
It's the one thing you guys get.
That was insane.
But women have it and we don't know.
Yeah. It's the one thing, like, everyone's like, they're... The most racist guy will be like, they're doing it better than us.
Across the board.
Yeah, and I will give him a ton of fucking credit, though.
For saying it was funny.
Yes, and also that he pulled it off and threw it into the audience in between rounds.
I mean, you have to fully embrace that. You can't put it back.
When he shells up. You can see he's like carrying his hands a little high because he's trying to keep the wig down.
The hubris and thinking, I'm going to win this fight.
You actually see the opponent laugh. Watch. He smiles.
You got to give him credit for owning it.
Before we get out of here, I want to do one more thing. Four women try a rodeo seesaw.
Oh, I saw that.
Let's watch it, and we'll end on this.
I couldn't tell if some of them are hot, though. Like,
1 second.
No problem. But this is, by the way, the scariest. Like, to even get on this, you're out of your mind.
I mean, the Jackass thing turned me off. Like,
it scares the shit out of me.
Because didn't Johnny Knoxville say that that's the one injury that, like, he hasn't, like, he never fully recovered from?
Yeah, I think that's why he can't take headshots anymore.
Toro Teeter Totter is what they call it.
The Toro Totter.
See, the one in the jeans, I'm like, man, she looked kind of good.
I just can't.
What are they doing here? Is there a bull coming out?
And then a bull's about to come out,
I believe
out, right?
The point is the last person left on it wins.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, don't drop
me. But like.
Jesus.
That. is death, right? Like, if that thing really...
Well, it's like a baby, right?
Yeah, that does not look... That's not... Doesn't have the big horn. But
The one with the big horns, that, like... I mean, that's one of the most vicious...
But even the hooves will kill
Did he get all of them?
I think he got all of them in one swoop.
I will say this is what I love.
Nice ass, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They, you know...
Oh, yeah. I nice mean, asses. Those rodeo girls, they're all riding horses. All
they got haunches on them.
Yeah, I'm serious. They're all, like, very fit.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you ride them for 8 seconds.
I do love it in the Jackass movie when, like, Bam is on it, and he's like, hold on. And he goes, the bullet's not going to hold on.
It's Pontius when he gets his leg clipped.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, he goes, hold on 1 second. The bull's not going to hold on. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. This was Zach Amico's Morning Zoo. Thank you to my guest, Shane Torres. Please listen to the Coastal Idiots podcast. Please also support the Medium Popcorn podcast with our friend Brandon Collins.
Thank you.
And thank you to our friends in the booth. We'll be back on Wednesday with another edition of the Morning Zoo. Goodbye.
Peace.
Fun's begun, no sleeping in. Noon is morning time to him. Pop a bagel, chug it down, just like a